Hello everyone, welcome to the latest edition of the Fancast pre-match. I'm your host, Little Dan. After 2 weeks of international boredom, we're finally back with club football. This week we're going to be looking into Wolves' upcoming match with West Ham on Monday night. This week I've got former Wolves and Ireland striker. A little research I did found that this guy is the all-time league goal scorer for Wolves from the Republic of Ireland. What do you think about that, Kevin Doyle?
I have
Robbie Keane, Robbie Keane, David Kelly.
True. Stephen Elliott, Andy Keogh. Been some Stephen good Irish Ward. Strikers. My Stephen Ward was left back, centre forward. Started centre forward, ended up left back, and then went back centre forward for a few games. Was not bad. Not a bad stat. I'm happy with that.
Nice little accolade for how big Wolves are and how big a country Republic of Ireland are. How are you finding post retirement? I know you had a brief spell at Colorado after you left Wolves. How are you finding it?
I'm enjoying it. You know what? I'm retired probably 2 years, maybe more actually. I'm not sure. About a bit more. And I keep getting asked that, and I'm still happily, I suppose, not happily, but enjoying doing everything else and enjoying life after football. Love football and life after football. I'm still waiting to wake up someday and, you know, be really depressed, because I keep reading that's what's going to happen to me. All ex-professionals end up very depressed and really missing everything that goes with it. I do bits and bobs, but you know, I enjoyed my career. I felt I got as much out as I could, and yeah, I'm happy to move on and do other things.
I suppose the regimented side of being away from your family and the non-match day things are probably easily avoidable after retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, being a professional footballer is a dream. It's fantastic. Like, I'm not just saying it is. Like, what a privilege, I suppose, we have. But also, that side of it is the shit that, like every job has pros and cons. That side of being a footballer, away from your family, hotel. You're with a bunch of, I suppose, 25 fellas in the main, between players and staff every day for, you know, 11 months a year, pretty much. And it can become, you know, it's that side of it I don't miss. So just put it that way.
So what was sort of your brief memories, happiest memories of being at Wolves? Obviously, there's a few games that sort of stand out. Your goal against Man United in the 2-1. We're playing West Ham on Monday. The goal you scored at Upton Park in the 3-1 win. What's your sort of memories from Wolves?
Yeah, that game actually was a big game. So I suppose, you know, it's one of my highest games at the time. It was sort of, we were both, you know, on the bottom half of the table, probably a relegation battle game. It had been delayed, I think, a few times because of snow that winter or something like that. So it turned out to be a really big game. And great man. That was one of my best performances, I would imagine, in a Wolves shirt. Got a good goal. It was a good all-round performance at the time. And that kept us, you know, pushed us out of that bottom three. We went on and had a good end to the season. So good memories of that. You know what? Good and bad at Wolves. But, you know, I still look back and look back with a smile and enjoy it. It was it went very quickly. I think I was there 6 years. I had a couple of loan spells, but I think it was 6 years, and it did not feel like that, which is a good thing, I suppose. You know, that was it. We had, I suppose my first year there was my best memories, because I was fit for the whole thing and played all the games and played very well, and the team played very well, finished sort of mid table. It was it's a really big club, like, and I didn't realise that till I suppose I joined. There's a lot of pressure playing for Wolves that you don't know till you play for Wolves, I suppose. And it was you felt that playing for Wolves, I think. A lot of support, a big club, a lot of history. It was different definitely a lot different to playing for Reading.
Do you thrive on the Wolves sort of expectation, or is it unrealistic expectation?
I don't know if there was unrealistic expectation then. I don't know what the expectation is now, you know. Total different scenario now with the finances that are there and the owners. But back then, I think the expectation, especially the first year or two, was to stay up, and we felt pressure for that. I think we sort of did a good job. I suppose the expectation changed from just staying up to playing a better style of football. And we felt under pressure, I think, to do that, which was maybe our downfall. You know, tried to make changes maybe in personnel and style of play to facilitate that. That was maybe too soon into getting into the Premier League in our second or third season, and barely set up in the second season, third season. Then we ended up going down, obviously. And yeah, I think pressure maybe to play a bit better brand or so-called better brand of football led maybe to our demise at the time.
Going back to the 2-1 victory at home to Manchester United, Ella Kirby scores, then you and Ella Kirby fighting over the second goal. Ella Kirby sort of accepts that it's your goal in the post-match interview. But when that goal bonus comes in the wages, does he dispute it then?
I don't know what his goal bonus was. It must be pretty good for him to be up there from left back and getting the ball in. So, I'm thinking back on that now. And like, that gets brought up every now and again. So I've got better memories of it, I suppose. And I suppose, you know, he was really, you know, so insistent with his goal, and I was so insistent with my goal. I can understand why he'd be frustrated, because I was equally as frustrated. But we didn't fall out or run over it. We had a good laugh about it. And I remember at the time I was celebrating, and I looked over and I see George celebrating over in a like 10 yards away. And I was really confused at the time what was going on. So half the lads were with me, I think, and half were with him. So, I think there's a funny interview of us afterwards, and I have a big fat lip, and we're talking about it at the time. But I think my name is down for it, so we'll have to, and I definitely wouldn't be changing it or just being nice about it and saying you can have it, George, Man United winner. I'll always cherish that one.
So previously, before you came to Wolves, you were in that sort of really successful Reading side that got promoted.
Yeah.
Were you in more of a front two back then? I think maybe Dave Kitson.
Yeah.
What was your sort of preference playing? Did you like playing the lone role that you predominantly played for Wolves, or did you enjoy working with another sort of target man type guy?
You know what? I've not just been diplomatic. I enjoyed both. Actually, I wouldn't have been able to do the lone role at Reading my first year there. I didn't have the technical ability to do it, the strength or the hold up play. So two definitely suited me. And football at that time, 4-4-2 was still the formation to play. Two centre forward, out and out centre forwards as well. Me, Dave Kitson, or me, Lee Ralita, or whatever it was at the time. So I really enjoyed that and knew no different. When I went to Wolves, then football's changed anyway. You know, I don't know if there's anyone plays two strikers anymore. Anyway. And at the time, it was a little bit still, you know, especially at Wolves, and had a good history of centre forwards. You know, two centre forwards, two out and out. So it was a bit. I think you know, we want to get two strikers on the pitch, but I didn't mind. I knew the reasons for it. I enjoyed the sort of the challenge, I suppose. You know, it was a real challenge. It was a tough role at the time, but I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, it was harder to score goals in that way, but I was involved more in all around play than I would have been at Reading. You know, I was, you know, trying to hold it up, trying to bring people into play space and stuff in channels, you know, everything that goes with that role. That at Reading, I would have been, you know what, more just, you know, getting the ball and try score goals and leave the wingers and everyone else to that side of it. So, no, I enjoyed the challenge, and it was the future of football. This is what it is now. So, it was going that way, and we needed to play like that to stay up. So I never had an issue with it. I don't know. I think the owner at the time, Steve Morgan, probably put a lot of pressure under Mick to change and play two up front. And he did sort of, you know, we tried to adapt and go to that. And while it was maybe, I don't know, well, it probably wasn't, because we got Red wasn't a better game to watch. We probably tried it too soon. We probably still needed to stick with that 4-5-1, whoever it might be, the one, whether it was me or Stephen Fletcher, whoever it's going to be, or Sylvain. You know, we had some good strikers and the pressure was probably on to play twos. But it probably would have suited us, and we'd have had a you know, better chance of staying up at the time and surviving if we'd have stuck with the one.
I'm not sure how much you've seen of Wolves this season. Obviously, massive loss, losing Jimenez for majority of this season. The two strikers who've took on that mantle since his injury. William Jose and Fabio Silva both been asked to play that long role, and struggled quite a lot trying to do the role that Jimenez did previously. I think it just shows how special of a striker he's been for Wolves. How can it be as a lone striker when you're not getting the service and you're asking to just run channels endlessly for no cause?
Yeah, you have to want to do it. I've done a couple of the Wolves games, one before Christmas, one after Christmas for Irish TV, and so I've seen it closely. And you know, Fabio is a good potential, very good player. He costs a lot of money, but he's 19, I think, and he's not a lone striker. He's, you know, he's not physically built for that yet. Maybe he will be in a few years. But Jimenez was excellent at it, and you have to want to do it. You have to enjoy all aspects of it. You have to be a sort of a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10 at everything. You know, you have to be able to hold it up. You have to be able to be quick enough to run channels. You have to be able to score a couple of goals. You have to have a bit of ability to bring other people to play. So you need to be a real all-rounder to do it. He was excellent at watching him play. His work rate is, you know, from the front, chasing back. Jimenez, a really, really good striker. Reminded me of me, but he's just a better version of, you know, better player. But that sort of role for Wolves, maybe it was last season, he was getting a bit of stick maybe for not scoring enough goals, but he's done so much and he brought more goals to it as well. He upped his goal tally a bit, and difficult to replace. Wolves weren't planning for him. You know, I suppose maybe they should have had a better backup there, someone of his ilk. You know, Fabio is a good backup to have, but not to come on maybe when you need two strikers up front or whatever, but not to do his role. So they gambled on him fit all season, and you see the difference in Wolves since he left. You know, you can't blame it on one player, but he's such a key element to how they played. Missing him has really affected them. I don't know where. I think I saw pictures of him training a little. I don't know when he's going to be actually, you know, even when he does come back, it might take him a little bit to just mentally, you know, be right at it again. Big loss for Wolves. I really like him, and he's a really good player. Everyone knows that anyway, but I just like the way there's no, you know, he's an expensive player, and you know, he could be just this guy who stands up there and shrugs his shoulders and not be, you know, just give me the ball and I'm not running for this, that. Yeah, he does, you know, he runs around like it means a lot to him, and you know, he puts everything into that role. And big negative for Wolves losing him. I think everyone realizes that as well. And you can't replace that. And to replace it going to cost an awful lot of money, and then he's going to be back fit, and the person you're messing with, what do you do with them, or what do you do with him? So it's a tough one for Wolves, I feel for them in that one. You just hope he comes back and can get back to the same level.
I don't begrudge you for comparing yourself to Jimenez for sort of the endless running, the ability to just hold off two centre-backs and make your own chances there, nothing. Who's sort of excited you from a winger point of view at Wolves recently? Obviously, you've played with some good wingers over your career. From, you know, you got the likes of sort of Jarvis and Michael Keightley at Wolves. I think you had sort of more technical wingers like Glenn Murray at Reading. Who else has sort of took your eye? Who's impressed you at Wolves in recent years?
Suppose now I don't see enough of them to say who's great and who's not great. Like, Michael Keightley used to be technically very good. It was just really injury prone, unfortunately. Matt Jarvis was really exciting at Wolves. Glenn Little, who you're talking about at Reading. A lot of people maybe listening to this won't know him, but you shouldn't Google him. Watch videos of him, because he was the slowest winger probably in history of football. He was about 6'4", gangly, no strength, but he used to rip people up, chop people inside out, and he had no interest in scoring goals. That's what I love about wingers. Wingers nowadays all want to be Ronaldo. You know, they want to be the top scorer. They want to cut in and shoot all the time. Whereas, you know, earlier in my career, wingers were all the interest in was assists and crossing the ball, and I missed that. I missed that later in my career. You're playing 4-3-3, and the two of the wider guys just want to cut inside and have a shot, and their second thought is trying to set up the poor number 8 who ran around like a lunatic and just hoping to get one goal to keep himself going. And that's not on their mind, but that's modern football. Everyone contributes maybe more. It's not just two centre forwards get 20 goals a season each and everyone else works around them.
So obviously you said you haven't seen much of Wolves. You must have seen enough of Adama Traore the last sort of couple of seasons.
I'd just love to have that pace. You know, I watch him, and I was saying I did games at Christmas there. I watch him, and I think sometimes you don't need to be as tricky at times. There's like you have so much pace that at times I prefer him to be even more direct. I know he's direct. But he comes inside and he's exciting. I'd hate to mark him, which is, you know, anyone coming up against him, we go, oh, like if he runs me, I can't catch him. So I'd like him to show more confidence. I know he does it at times, but he can do it more, show more confidence in his own pace, you know, stretch teams more. Even if you lose it a couple of times, keep doing it and they'll stand off you more and give you more space to turn and do other things. So he has serious ability and potential. And yeah, I'd hate to mark him. You know, he'd be the one player on that team. Well, not one player, that's a bit harsh. But if you had to pick someone that I didn't want to mark, if I was a defender playing against Wolves, he'd be the one. I'd be like, listen, lads, can you someone else do that today? And I'll have a fight against him for 90 minutes or something like that.
What about sort of Pedro Neto? Have you seen much of him?
Yeah. Listen, he's excellent. He's a different type of player. He's, you know, he's really skillful, totally different to Traore. They're a good balance like that with Wolves, in fairness. You know, they've got all types of players. I suppose they'd want it. They spent a lot of money. Neto, yeah, you know, they're all, you can go through the Wolves squad now and there's not really too many weak links. The weak link is replacing Jimenez. They have a strong squad. I was sort of a little sad that Matt Doherty left in the summer because he was the last sort of link to my time there and the last Irish player. I think there's no Irish player in around the first squad now, from my knowledge. Even young lads, I don't think there is. So I was disappointed to see Matt go because he was there all the way, you know, from my time there down to League One and back up again. So I don't have any connection left there.
I think he'll be glad that he's gone because he wasn't far off you with that league goal scoring stat I mentioned earlier. Yeah. I think he was about 10 or 12 behind you in the league.
And he had a bit of a goal, didn't he?
So Wolves have got West Ham on Monday night. West Ham have had a decent season, really come on strong. I think they've changed to a similar formation to what Wolves play. I think sort of five at the back with wing backs. They've got Mikel Antonio up front, who's a It was a handful at any level he's played at. What's your sort of feelings for the game from a Wolves point of view on Monday? Is it a game they should be looking to win, or is it?
No. Well, listen.
West Ham in too good a form for us to expect to win.
I think you'd be happy to get anything from the game. I think you're looking for a win, of course you are. And there's not much between this. Once when you go through the actual squads, Listen, Wolves, I think, have a stronger squad, stronger first 11. But just West Ham are in good form, aren't they? David Moyes, in fairness to him, he's bounced back and really well. And yeah, just in the form West Ham are in, you wouldn't... if you're going to gamble or back, I'd go for a draw. And it's an easy one to say, I suppose. But it is just the form West Ham are in. It's hard to say Wolves are going to win it. And I think after an international break like this can ruin the rhythm a bit. That might be a good thing for Wolves, ruin West Ham's rhythm a bit. And I fancy a draw, a one-all draw.
Score draw from Kevin Doyle there. It's not 9 games left of the season. Where do Wolves need to recruit in the summer, Kevin? Do they need to be looking at a formation change going forward, or do they need to stick with what's been successful the last couple of years? You mentioned earlier about Steve Morgan pushing for a more of a entertaining sort of style of play. Is that what Wolves need to be doing?
I don't know. Like, when they have their proper, you know, first choice, they're 11 out, they're pretty entertaining, you know, as you can be while not being a top 4 or 5 team. you know, you have to be careful sometimes changing things, which I think they've been so successful. You know, last year, you know, they weren't a million miles off the top clubs. Investment wise, it's a difficult one. You know, they just need backup in play. They're strong when they have their strongest 11, and after that, it peters off a bit quickly. I suppose that's the difference between them and teams above them. I think you have to see how Jimenez is when he comes back and hope he gets up to speed. If not, even then, I think you need to sign a centre forward of his sort of ilk. I think he's going to be the first choice centre forward. But can you sign someone? It's difficult, you know. As I said, you spend a lot of money on someone they want to play. So you sign someone, you know, to sit on the bench. That's the recruitment's problem and the manager's problem. But they'll have enough games, you'd hope they'll rotate him around. But just so, if a key player like him goes out, it makes such a difference to Wolves. They need someone who's able to step into his shoes. You know, mightn't be as good as him, but of the same ilk. I don't think that, as I said, that they have other strikers, but they're not able to do what he does. So I thought they would have brought someone in January, you know, just a loan move to the end of the season, a big sort of targeting man type centre forward to take the pressure off a bit, but they didn't. That was a mistake. And then it depends on the money and the budget, I suppose, whether you say, are we going for it and looking to be a club that finishes in the top four, or are we happy to do, if we're happy to stay the way we are, well, then I'd stick with the formation and try and sign a couple of players. But who knows? I don't know if you know more of the owners speaking about what their ambitions are, spending budgets are. They'd have to spend a lot of money if they want to improve on where they are now.
I think it's shown how he's underperformed that we actually got a striker in on loan in January.
Right,
William
Hogan,
the Brazilian.
Right.
No. He's saying proper target man. I mentioned about you running tirelessly. He just doesn't seem to have the mobility, which has made him look a bit sort of frustrated. I think it's got to the point where I mentioned earlier that he's run the channels in certain amount of games and not had any service, and now it's become a bit of a chore for him to run, it looks like now.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to do a bit of recruitment to get a second string striker behind him, and as with Fabio Silva filling the third place, getting the minutes where we're a bit comfortable in games. Maybe just going to finish off this little segment with just a quick fire little quiz with you, Kevin. Quick answers. Favourite Wolves goal? Not necessarily like the screamer, but your favourite Wolves goal?
My favourite Wolves goal? Jesus, yeah. I think quickly. My first goal, I was a record signed at the time, and I was injured. I had to have a hernia operation before I got to play my first game. So I missed the first game, few games of the season, and then I played a couple of games. I wasn't quite fit. I scored, so it was a bit of pressure building, basically. And I scored at home against Fulham. I did really well that day and felt back to myself, so a big relief, I think, more than anything, to get my first Wolves goal. A lot of pressure under me. So, yeah, it's my favourite.
That was was it 2-1?
I think we won, yeah.
Top corner, sorry-ish, in the box?
No, that was a season or two later against Fulham. No, that was my first goal, was a header. I think it was a header. I can't even remember. I'm telling you, it's my favourite goal. Remember the pressure relief, I suppose, getting your first goal. It was home to Fulham. We went 1-0 up. I think we won 2-1 or 2-0. Can't remember. Roy Hodgson was the manager. I remember that. Because I nearly signed for Fulham ahead of Wolves at the time. It was just to choose between the two. So I felt more pressure in that game and a bit like that. Just need to go out and prove myself.
I don't blame you. Wolverhampton or West London, I know where I'd rather live. worst teammate to room with on an away trip?
I remember Marcus Hanneman. Lovely fella, great friends with Marcus, but he religiously woke himself up with the loudest, longest fart at about 6 a.m. in the morning. it was like an alarm clock going off, and I thought I got used to it after 2 years, but because we joined Wolves at the same time, and we were together at Reading, they just said we put the two lads together, even though we had room together at Reading. But I got on well with Marcus, but that was, and he chewed tobacco all the time, and there'd be bits of tobacco around the room and in glasses and things like that. And it was just, it was interesting.
I know he was into his heavy metal, wasn't he, as well? So maybe that's where the farting came from, Avery.
Yeah. He had his earphones on at least when he was listening to that.
off Wolves subject, Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo?
I should know it. I should have the answer. I like Messi. Messi, yeah. Ronaldo is fabulous, and he's made the most of himself. And you know, if you were to, if I compared him, I love Messi because he's amazing. Because of his size, his physique, everything. He shouldn't be a footballer. He shouldn't be the ability he has, and he is. And he's the one. If you were playing a five-a-side outside, he'd be the best in your little five-a-side team. He'd be the, you know, best on an 11-a-side pitch. Ronaldo is more, to me, one of the best players has ever been, but more he's made the best of himself, you know, as in his body shape, his fitness, his everything, his physique. And I just like the fact that Messi doesn't have all that and he's still able to be the best player.
I'm Cristiano, so we'll quickly move on from there.
It's much more interesting. I like him both, you know.
Yeah, it's a pathetic debate that's always going to rear its head until the arbitrary realise.
The only thing, I know we're having a debate, the only thing with them, Ronaldo, you could probably play centre half and he'd do a top three there because of his athleticness, whereas I don't think Messi would, but you don't need to, you know, if you're, this is the one before, if you're back in the day, it was the argument, if you were, say, Wolves back in the day with us, Ronaldo would have done more for us, I think. Whereas Messi would have done more for the team at the top of the table. Anyway, it's never ending argument.
Where'd you keep your chocolate, the fridge or the cupboard?
Oh, cupboard, yeah. No, it's always the cupboard. I don't get the fridge cupboard thing. Yeah.
Oh, well. And then
the melting.
Yeah, it's a. Sometimes it gets a bit too squishy, though, doesn't it? And it gets stuck in your teeth a bit more when it's warm.
Oh, that's the positive, I think.
Okay. Who's the most underrated player that you've played with at Wolves? Who should have done better with the career, but was still a good footballer?
Better? I don't know. At Wolves, sorry, so many players, I think. I don't know if he was underrated or should have done better, but I thought he was a really excellent player and went quietly about his job, and we lost him. I couldn't believe him. We let him go. David Jones, himself and Carl Henry had a really good sort of partnership in midfield as well, and they were really good friends, and it was just a good dynamic. And he was really good on the ball, clever player, just a really good professional. And we let him go. I think he was out of contract. And so he's never spoken about, as in he was a loss to us. And I don't know if maybe it was, but I thought he was a loss to us at the time.
He was very good technically. He could sort of turn on a 10 pence, couldn't he? I think maybe when they brought in Nenad Milias, that maybe was maybe a bit too similar, and Mick went in a different route, I'm not sure there.
Yeah, we brought in Nenad as well. And then Jamie O'Hara came in, and I just thought they were good players, but I just thought I thought Dave Jones was sort of, the equal wasn't much difference between any of them, but Dave was probably, he was probably more, just the better dynamic probably with the players around him. I mean, you know, they played together, they knew each other really well, and he was probably more suited to the squad at the time.
Right, that's it, Kevin. I really appreciate your time this evening. Hopefully we'll get you on again in the future. Thanks for your time and all the best to yourself.
Thanks. Dan, or little Dan?
Little Dan. Yeah, I mean, I was talking about Cristiano and Messi a minute ago. I'm 5'3", so I really should appreciate Messi.
Yeah,
I think it's all about Cristiano's longevity to still be doing it at this age, and still he still seems to be the child in the playground. That's all he wants to do is score goals, no matter how it comes about. It's all about getting that next goal. Yeah. So I think he's sort of 6 goals behind the all-time international goal scorers now. He's done it in England, Portugal, Spain, Italy now.
And he's evolved his game as well. He's evolved to be nearly a centre forward. He was a tricky winger, like, you know, not really goals. He was up and down the wing. He was that old school winger, and he's evolved to, you know, in fairness. Yeah. He could make, definitely, you know, if you ask me tomorrow, I might say Ronaldo. It just depends on my mood of the day. But I like the way he turns up for Portugal all the time. He keeps, you know, he's just all about getting across and goals. And he looks, you know, he says he's the biological age of whatever, I don't know, but he's just keeps himself he seems to do every single thing to make sure his body and everything is in just the perfect condition to to be the best player in the world, and that's very admirable.
So I'm using the YouTube channel now to call out Lionel Messi, come and do it in England for a season, and I might say you're better than Cristiano. And on that, we'll say goodbye. Thanks again, Kevin.
Cheers. Thanks for talking to you.
Right, so we're back. Thanks to Kevin Dorr for appearing on today's show. Another amazing serve for some of the goals that he scored will live in memory, especially that one against Man United. I've got Kim and Jordan with me to look into the West Ham game in regards from a betting point of view and opinions. Just briefly, what was your thoughts on the three England games, the World Cup qualifiers, Jordan?
Yeah, I thought we played okay in parts, to be honest with you. It's three wins out of three, isn't it? Cody got the armband in the second half as well against San Marino, which is always good. But, you know, it should be a group that will get out of no problems. And I thought that Poland being the biggest test in the group, I know John Stones made a bit of a cock-up, but, yeah, it was all too comfortable for me. So, yeah, 9 points out of nine, move on back into the Premier League.
What's both your feelings about a Wolves player maybe featuring in a World Cup next year? Has he got a good chance of making it, do you think?
I think he's nailed on for the Euros at this stage. World Cup, you'd like to think of being in and around it, wouldn't you? But it all depends on the system we're going to play. And I do think that there's a few young English centre-halves that might be getting called up soon. Like you're looking at Ben White and Ezri Konsa as well. So out of that current crop of centre-halves, you'd probably say that Dier and Cody are the most vulnerable. So hopefully it'll be the World Cup, but I reckon it'll be touch and go for that one.
Do you think he's a starting member of the 11 at the Euros, Kim?
No, in all honesty. I think he'll make the Euro squad purely because he fits into the back five. Now, personally, I don't think England should be playing a back five, but I guess that's a story for another day. But I think Southgate obviously likes his leadership qualities, the fact that he can easily slot into the back five. And I think he thinks he can slot into the back four as well, but that's, again, not sure about that. But for me, I think he's got to be in the squad. If you compare him to Eric Dier, he's not even getting a game for Tottenham at the moment. And, you know, isn't great, in my opinion. The only thing that he has going for him is the fact that he's versatile. You know, he can play in centre midfielder and centre back. So, yeah, I think, as Jordan said, I think he'll make the Euro squad, but potentially not the World Cup team squad.
Right, so let's quickly move on to our game Monday night. As usual, what's your sort of feelings going into that? Do you think a West Ham, a team that we should be demanding a win against on Monday, or would a draw be a fair result?
I think you've got to play the team on merit, haven't you? And West Ham of the last few seasons have been a team that we've beat comfortably a fair few times. Obviously, they did us 4-0 to start of the season. I thought it was a bit of a shock result, to be honest. But looking at how the season's gone, they're up there on merit, aren't they, now, for me? I think, you know, Moyes, he got a real unfair... I think he got a lot of unfair flack at Man United, to be honest with you, because it was just an impossible job to go and follow Fergie. But this West Ham team now reminds me of his Everton team back in sort of the mid-2000s to late-2000s. Very strong. I think Rice and Souček as a midfield two are probably... Well, they're probably up there in the top three centre midfield partnerships for me in the whole league. I think they're both really, real good players. And look, they're a good team. It's going to be tricky on Monday night, but the Wolves of old and the Wolves, we know the levels we can get to. I think it'll be a really good game come Monday.
Let me just touch on something you said there. Do you not feel that West Ham are Wolves of the last two seasons, where you've got a team that have so regimented in their roles, similar formation, an actual centre forward who scores goals and is able to put himself up and hold the ball up to bring the rest of his team into play with Mikel Antonio? How much different are they in regards to they're confident, they know what they're doing, they're picking up points? They're very similar to Wolves, in my opinion. What's your sort of score betting tips, Jordan, for this game on Monday?
So I've gone for, or predicted, a 2-2 draw, which is 16-1 with Boyle Sports. I think it'll be quite a, you know, a tricky game for us. And like I say, I think there'll be goals. Just there, I think they're a good team, and I think that we haven't really got a lot to play for now. So I can imagine us throwing a little bit less caution to the wind as we normally would. I've also gone for Soucek as the first goal scorer, and the result 2-2 for 100-1. So if you put a pound on, you get £101 back. It seems fair to me.
What's your, where's your money line at, Kim, on Monday night?
So I've got two schools of thought here. I think my heart's saying we can nick it, Wolves can. My head is saying that West Ham have got a lot more to play for. You know, generally they've been a lot more solid defensively, and you know, they can score goals. I think all over the pitch there's threats from them. You know, you've got Creswell at left back, as Jordan said, in centre midfield, Rice and Soucek are a very good partnership who could potentially run the game. And Antonio and Lingard, I think they're such a threat, and I think they could get in behind our defence if we're not careful. So I don't think we'll actually go. I think we'll do our usual sitting back style and try and hit them on the break, personally, I think. In terms of bets, I think, again, head and heart, I've got two here. So we've got 1-0 West Ham, Antonio first goal scorer is 28-1 with Ball Sports. And then a little bet builder. So we've got Wolves to win, under 2.5 goals. João Moutinho to be booked and Neves to score at any time is 80-1. So good long shot there.
Nice little couple of nice takeaways on the back of one of them coming in. As usual, if you want to bet small, win big, my bet is Willy Bolly, first goal scorer, over 2.5 goals, and Connor Cody to be booked, 650-1. That's your money. That's your old dear way when we can actually finally get away. Don't know what more you could want. One
sounds
pound.
more likely to happen than ours, to be honest. Yeah, it's a good one there.
Yeah, so that's where my money's going. Always bet small, win big, treat yourself. Right then, guys. Let's quickly touch on the Fantasy Premier League. 9 game weeks left. Kim's currently leading out of the Fancast people in the Wolves Fancast Premier League. Well, between the Fancast people, I think you're about 10th in the league, Kim, something like that. Who are you looking at going with this week, captain-wise, and who's your differential leading into this week?
Okay, so in terms of differentials, I think it's obvious that Chelsea have got an easy fixture against West Brom. So for me, I would go with Alonso at left back for his attacking returns and defensive potential for clean sheet. Now, I know he's not always started, but considering he's had 2 weeks off, I can see him definitely starting this one. In terms of captains, I haven't quite decided who I'm going for yet, but I think the obvious candidates are the Leeds attackers against Sheffield United, and obviously Harry Kane against a really poor Newcastle team. But yeah, I haven't decided yet, but Kane and the Leeds players look like a good shout to me.
Where's your captain's armband heading this week, Jordan?
So, as a recording on Friday, it's currently on Son because I'm waiting to see if Jose is going to release his team news and let us know if he's playing or not. So, it is because I think a lot of people have bombed him out and I need to make some points up. I might just leave it on Son and gamble that he plays. Other than that, my vice captain's Rafinha. So, I agree with Kim. I think Sheffield United are, well, they're done, aren't they? Especially after that Leicester game. And Rafinha and Bamford both haven't had international football. They're both going to be fresh. Could be goals galore in there. So I might switch it to Rafinha, but I'm going to keep it on Son as a recording on Friday at the minute.
Essentially, we're not going to reveal is the answer.
No. It's going to be on Son, I think. As long as Mourinho says he's in the squad, I'm going to keep it on Son. So that's my pick anyway.
Right, so as always, none of us really want to be concrete with our captaincy because of the mind games. I think I wouldn't begrudge anyone going Harry Kane captain away to Newcastle this week. I think Newcastle are in a bit of a mire at the moment. I think they're not going to dodge the relegation bullet this season. So Harry Kane seems to be the safe bet for captain this week for me. But my captain, as it stands, is probably one of the most in-form midfielders in the world at the moment. And from a Premier League, fancy Premier League point of view, it's Diogo Jota. He always causes Arsenal loads of problems when he plays them. He scored again in the week for Portugal. Midfielders where the big points are scored. He plays centre-forward for Liverpool. You'd be stupid not to have Diogo Jota if you really want to catch up to that top places.
Hold on a minute. Hang on. Why on earth are you saying he's in form when he's only played like two games since his return from injury?
In the Champions League for the other week as well, didn't he?
Yeah, well, we're talking Premier League here, aren't we? So
I said in the world at the moment right now. So I'm going Diogo Jota. That's my preference. Come the end of the season, game week 38, we'll see if that's come off, won't we?
who's the sort of
budget player you'd be looking at putting in your team this week if you've got a free transfer knocking about?
I'll tell you
who I would definitely be putting in if they weren't playing Man City, and that is Iheanacho from Leicester. He's only 5.8 million, and he looks like he might retain his place even with Leicester's players coming back. But obviously playing Man City, so for me, yeah, not a consideration, but will be consideration for my wildcard team.
Anyone for you, Jordan? I'm looking at sort of Adamola Lookman with his next couple of games. He's got Villa away and then Wolves are at home. Budget midfielder. Always got an assist in him and the occasional goal. So if you've got a free transfer and you need to bring someone in for a cheap price, Adamola Lookman for me.
Yeah, I think Rudiger's the one that stands out for me. He's just consistent in it at the moment in that Chelsea back five. I know the top and change, but he seems to be the one that Tuchel likes and rates the highest. I think he's at 4.7 million, which for a Chelsea defender is just nuts. Someone else I've been looking at, I've never had him all season, and he's been pushed back into midfield now, is Stuart Dallas, who is a defender on the game, but moved into midfield. So he got potential of getting some attacking returns as well as some defensive returns when they're playing Sheffield United this weekend.
Right, guys. Thanks for your time. Hopefully, Wolves get the win against West Ham on Monday. Hope you've had a good Easter break. We're back with club football after 2 weeks of international boredom. See you on Monday for Wolves West Ham, and we'll speak again next week.